It is Thursday and time for Across the Aisle, our weekly roundtable on politics. This week, Cynthia Dill, an attorney who served in the legislature as a Democrat, Dick Woodbury, an economist and former independent lawmaker, and Mike Chinquette, an attorney and former chief counsel to Republican Governor Paul LePage. They spoke with Keith Shortall.
Mike, Cynthia, Dick, happy Thursday. Last week, we opened the segment with predictions. Would Susan Collins leave the Senate and jump into the governor's race? Mike, you were the winner. You said that she would stay put. You may now gloat.
Well, you know, as the token Republican, we're bound to get one right once in a while. You know, the reality is I don't think, for people that look closely at it, I don't think it's a huge surprise. You know, certainly the national scene is on a precipice, which way we're going to go forward. You get the Bernie Sanders, the Elizabeth Warrens pushing Medicaid for all of these other programs. Donald Trump was elected president. So Susan's in a unique position to navigate the national scene. So I don't think it's surprising she's staying there.
Cynthia, you said you believe that she would make a run for the Blaine House. Were you truly surprised this past Friday?
No, I wasn't surprised at all, actually. I mean, I really didn't know, but I had hoped that she would stay in the Senate. It certainly makes sense to me that she stays in the Senate. I mean, she kind of went through this open deliberation process that made for a very interesting story. And I, towards the end, just decided to guess that she was going to be running for governor because she was making her announcement in Maine. But the announcement in Maine was really just a small scale of the national enchantment that surrounds some of the president's announcements. I thought she really rolled it out quite well.
Dick, you weren't sure. And you're forgiven because, as Cynthia said, she held this event up at the Samoset in front of a bunch of business people, sort of hinting that this was a good setting to announce for governor. And yet she announced that she was not going to.
It is kind of funny when somebody sort of puts all this hype around what they're not going to do and you have a press conference and so forth that you're not going to do. But I think in this case, there was reasonably serious consideration that she might like to do this. And this is a juncture, obviously, you know, every 8 years, sometimes four, but often 8 years is when a seat opens up. So I think it was a real decision. And she made it as most people, I think, suspected she would.
Mike, Collins said she was urged by Senate colleagues, some very strongly, to stay in Washington despite the frustrations of the way that Congress is operating now, in part because they said that she would be important to restoring some of the functionality. Is she really that important to that effort?
To the best of my knowledge, she's the only Republican senator from New England. You know, the New England states have this long history of kind of moderate Republicanism. And, you know, it's interesting to see as political winds change, you have Republican governors in four of the six New England states. So I do think she may have an opportunity to help shepherd a kind of a solution-focused environment back. And the other piece of this is, let's not forget, the Senate is very much a body focused on its own traditions. And the roles of seniority, the roles of ranking members and so on and so forth is very important to the members of that body. And for better or worse, she holds a very senior position in terms of lineage.
Cynthia, would her departure have meant the collapse or destabilization, further destabilization of the GOP center ground in Congress?
In Congress, I think if she had left, it would have definitely been, you know, one less person out of a very small few to begin with. I mean, and it is really a numbers game. I mean, there's only 52 Republicans. She's one of maybe three or four moderates who can be counted on to at least have an open mind about something. She's not a predictable vote. So, I mean, her sway has increased significantly with the election of Donald Trump, and she can exert significantly more power from the national perch. And what's interesting to me now is what's going to happen with the gubernatorial race, because we have seen some more moderate centrist Republicans enter the race, such as Mike Thibodeau. And the discussion might be different now that Susan Collins is succeeding in Washington as a moderate Republican.
Mike, there, as Cynthia says, there are four Republicans currently in there. We have Mike Thibodeau, Ken Fredette, Garrett Mason, and former DHHS Commissioner Mary Mayhew, all really, though, who are Augusta insiders. Are they going to resonate with LePage core people?
Well, you know, it's certainly the difference with incumbency versus is outsider. You know, Paul LePage has been governor of Maine for the past 7 years. He'll be governor of Maine for the next year. And, you know, Paul LePage's people like a lot of the accomplishments he's done. And, you know, certainly all four of them have been in the legislature or in the administration for that entire period. And, yeah, Republican primary voters are generally happy with the governor. So certainly trying to take up his mantle is a valid and winnable strategy.
Dick, there are a number of non-major party candidates. In fact, there's even, a green primary here because the party is recognized here. Betsy Marsano and Jay Dresser are the two listed as Greens. We also have two unenrolled candidates, Alan Caron and Terry Hayes, and a Libertarian, Richard Light. So there's good representation outside the two major parties. I would guess that you're happy to see that.
I mean, I'm happy to see candidates put themselves out there and run. But what's, you know, potentially pretty important about what you said is that this, assuming everybody stays in, is at least a six-person general election. There'll be the Democratic Party nominee, the Republican Party nominee, the Libertarian. There is a Libertarian candidate. There's a primary for the Green, and there's the two independents. So that is a general election ballot with six people. That is, you know, I think going to show some of the same vote-splitting dynamics that motivated the whole ranked choice voting movement last time. And I think it could be as powerful as it was then this time around as well.
And we'll see what happens with all of that. That's a whole other segment. Maybe we'll get to that next week. Cynthia, on the Democratic side, there are nine official candidates.
But who's counting?
That's a big primary there. How are those Democrats going to set themselves apart?
Well, everyone's going to try to come up with their own brand. There's definitely going to be some who try to emulate Bernie Sanders and be the Bernie Sanders candidate. There are others who are going to take up the moderate space that I think people like Susan Collins creates and Angus King in this state especially. And then, of course, there are others who are going to run on policy issues. You know, there's a litmus test around either health care, whether it be universal health care or social issues such as abortion, gay marriage. So I think you're going to see Democrats branding themselves differently, painting themselves with different stripes, but they'll certainly have in common a separation from Trump and LePage.
You know, the big thing, it's funny, talking about Susan Collins and Angus King, I think this gubernatorial election is going to be a lot like 1994 in Maine, and I was 10 years old, so I wasn't paying very close attention at the time, but there was an eight-way Republican primary. Susan Collins won with a little over 20%, went on to come in third place statewide, losing to Angus King, who eked out a victory over the Democrat Joe Brennan. So it's, the names, the past often can repeat itself, and it may again this year.
All right, Mike, Cynthia, Dick, see you next week.